this.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
Before the season started, you indicated you didn't think you were really a contender.
You still don't think you're top three.
So I was just going to say, though, given what you've seen now,
It's hard to put out a roster with rookies and guys who were in Spain and China. It's hard to say, yeah, we got this thing.
But given what you've seen now, Tatum's clearly farther along than we thought. Yeah. Brown has improved. Morris is back next year. Horford is back next year. And you'll be adding Hayward. You'll be adding Irving to this mix next year.
Somehow get past Cleveland,
wouldn't
get
it be
to the finals? We're not going to be favored. I'll still be like, well, are we contenders?
But I'm not even talking about the finals this year. I'm saying, wouldn't you be disappointed if you're not exactly in this same spot next year?
Well, next year, yeah, next year and the next 5 years, maybe, or number of years, the sky could be the limit for this team. This is a building year, and then it turned into more of a building year with these huge injuries we had. Thank God we have Brad Stevens.
Coach Stevens. Coach Stevens, Wick. Wick Grossbeck on with Felger Mazz. Full interview will be up at 98.5 The Sports Hub in a little bit, or the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. We're coming to you from the Garden, where Celts take on the Cavs tonight in Game 2, 8:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, your home for the Seas. Pre-game starts at 8 o'clock. We got you covered right up until then. We'll take your calls at 617-779-0985. Right back to you. You can comment on Wick, the game tonight, the lottery tonight, the Celtics position, some of the Red Sox stuff, the Carson Smith injury, which is a humdinger. All of it with you. Here's Bobby and Revere. What do you got, Bobby?
Hey, hi, guys. Listen, I was listening to you guys yesterday, especially you and Tony, Mike. And you people put, I believe it was... Jordan and Magic 1-2 and LeBron 3.
I don't have them 3.
Now, I got 25 years in all 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I come from an era in sports when every player, either number one on the roster or 30, came to play every night. LeBron is a physical specimen, and he's very talented, no doubt. But he's a dog, and he's a quitter. How can a rookie listen to him scream and say, hustle up, rookie, no dogging? If I were a rookie, I'd tell him to go to hell. Now, I know you guys can't knock on LeBron that badly, but to put him ahead of Bird, that terror for the Hawks, the power forward in the old days, Jabbar, Cousy, he is nothing but a quitter.
Okay, Bob, that's a little strong, but... LeBron's times where he has shut it down, because he has. I'm reluctant to put him ahead of Larry Bird, but I think I still do have to. We talked about this yesterday, and I think this is a discussion, you know, I don't know, we're in the middle of the series, I'm more interested in who wins the series. But to me, the question when you ask this is, do we include centers or not? Because if you include centers, neither LeBron nor Larry are in the top five.
No, you have to put them in their own category.
So
it was a big man-dominated league for decades.
Okay, if centers are different, is Tim Duncan a center for me or a power forward?
Tim Duncan to me is I put him in the big man class.
Okay, because I put Larry and LeBron behind Tim Duncan, both of them behind Tim Duncan. So if Tim Duncan's in with the centers, if he's in with Russell and Kareem and that group, then it's Magic, it's Jordan in reverse order, Jordan Magic, and then I guess we're talking LeBron, Larry, da-da-da. But I think LeBron's overrated because people are saying Jordan? Like, that's just ridiculous.
No. Jordan's the greatest player of all time. Like, to me, that one's a slam dunk. And I put Magic ahead of LeBron. But if you want to talk about... Look, the people in Boston get upset about this. LeBron's game is more diverse than Larry's was. It is. In fact, he's a better athlete.
And he took... And Larry always played with great teams. And he never took a team as crappy as LeBron has to the finals.
No, if you want me, though, to say...
You know, multiple times...
Who had
to do that?
But if you ask me which guy has bigger balls, who do I want taking the shot?
Right, who's more clutch? It's
Bird.
Oh, and who I'd rather have? No question.
Bird.
If I'm being fair, Bird never took a team to the finals like LeBron has multiple times.
2010, maybe this year.
Multiple times. Bird never went to the finals with teams like LeBron has.
No. Look, to me...
And Larry never came back as an underdog down 3-1 in the finals, did he? I mean, so, like, I got to be fair, but I would take... Bird 100 times over LeBron.
To me, there are only two guys in history that I think can play all five positions on the floor. Well, LeBron and Magic. That's it. So, now, but again, that's a different argument. Now you're talking about versatility. Jordan was an assassin. Assassin.
Here's Blair in Maine on LeBron tonight. Go ahead, Blair.
Yeah, LeBron can totally show it. You know, you never know. It can be. He can make me worried tonight. You know, you never know what LeBron's really going to do tonight, right? You don't know what he's going to show. You got to be up and ready to play basketball tonight.
And Blair, you know what? Thank you for bringing that up. I'm just going to cut you off right there because I know it's only going to get worse after that. That does what stops me short of saying LeBron's an all-timer because I never wondered what I was going to get from Jordan on a game like tonight. I never had to wonder about what Larry Bird was going to give me on a night like tonight. Tonight with LeBron, he could be a freight train, dangle it right in your face, or he could show up and defer and pass and take six shots in the first half and sort of see if he can get everyone else involved. And at the end of the night, you're going to sit there and go, where was he? Was there something wrong with him? I never felt that way going into a big game with some of these other guys we're talking about.
No, that's a fair way to look at it. I mean, now look, I'd be surprised if LeBron didn't show up tonight. Two games in a row, a 1-0 series, and let's face it, the Celtics don't really have a superstar. They don't. They're a likable team, but they don't have anyone. It's not like they have Durant on their roster who could match up with LeBron on some level. Not that anyone can. LeBron, to me, I'd be surprised if he doesn't take this game over tonight.
Will in Acton, what do you got for us, Will?
So I'm thinking that with the draft tonight, or with the lottery rather, we have to look for what teams have a top pick so we can trade Terry Rozier for a top pick. Let's move up the cycle on getting a player.
So the question is, Will, I mean, look, I'd do that in a heartbeat. You're not going to get with this year's pick. I mean, if you somehow hit that miracle, you know, 2.9% chance and get two or three, you don't need to make a trade. But if you're sitting there with your pick, which is going to be 27, I think. It's going to be 27. I don't think you have enough to move in the top five. If you include next year's Sacramento and Terry Rozier, I don't think you can get up there.
Oh, you definitely don't.
So there's no shot?
No. You're not getting up there. Your only chance tonight is to win the lottery. I mean, you know, land in the top three of the lottery. That's your only shot. You don't have enough artillery to get up there unless you want to move Brown or Tatum. Like, and I'm not doing that for a lottery pick. Both of those guys are already, to me, the equivalent of borderline and number one pick in the draft. They've both panned out.
Angelo Methuen is a Red Sox thought for us. Hi, Angelo.
How you doing?
Good, Angelo. What do you got?
All right, Mike. I could talk to you because you don't give anybody passes. The Red Sox broadcasting on TV is ludicrous. Ludicrous. Rummy, he talked out of his ass. And the other guy thinks the Red Sox is a superior team. Way back when, they had Dick Stockton, Ken Harrelson, Gary Thon. They're all gone because they're too cheap to pay the top chip announcers.
Angelo,
okay, go ahead, say I'm crazy.
No. I mean, I think Remy, when he has his fastball, is worthwhile, is a good broadcaster. This Johnny Gomes, like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, please. I already have Eckersley up there.
So Eck is legit as a day is long.
I learn stuff when I listen to Eck. I think he's great.
No question.
I think Eck is excellent. I think Remy, when he's doing baseball, is very good. You know, I don't have any use for the Rem Dog stuff and the Johnny Gomes business. Like, seriously, like, it's a parody of itself sometime, man. I mean, just as colloquially, you know, you got to grind to shine down there, baby. Like, just let him do anything outside of just calling the game. But even just the game,
it's like
calling,
watching a B-movie.
Oh, it is. It's master of the obvious stuff. It is. It's sort of cringe-worthy. It's like, why is it so hard, man? Like, why is it so hard when Remy's not there? Why is it so hard? I guess Eck just doesn't want to do it.
Well, and this is, you know, this isn't exactly the Tampa Bay Rays. You're talking about a franchise that's got 120 years of history.
Oh, man.
One of the most historic franchises in the game. And you would think it'd be, like, you look at the guys the Yankees put in the booth. I mean, Cohn,
right.
O'Neill. Like, these guys all have pedigree. They were all credible big league ball players, like borderline Hall of Fame talent.
Even the Mets get Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling. They do a great job.
Yeah, Johnny Gomes and who is the cat they throw up?
Mike Timlin, Lenny DiNardo.
Oh, Lenny DiNardo. Yeah. You know, never mind. Wake, love you, mean it. But has he ever said anything you can remember ever? Anything?
No.
Anything. Well, what has he ever said about anything? Any idea? Any clues? Good, bad, indifferent, anything.
He's aged well. He looks good.
Anything that made you laugh, made you cry, got you angry, made you happy. Anything. Can you recite anything
Can't.
That Tim Wakefield has ever said? Ever?
See, they got to find guys who are more distance from the game. Although, you know, Cohen and O'Neill aren't that far out. But that just understand, you got to – it's okay to be critical. You can't be so worried about what every guy in that clubhouse
is going
to think.
Maybe it's hard on this team because if you do it right and you are critical, they'll ambush you on the team plane to the point where you don't want to travel with the team. Like, maybe it's just a hard environment to be that guy here because there's such sallies in that clubhouse. There's such babies about it.
I mean, I think the Yankees broadcasts are always good. I know. I hate to always bring it back to the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
But I listen to Cohn in the booth. I think Cohn is good, man. Cohn tells you stuff. And you know what? Darling's good, too, in the Mets games. Darling's good. Al Leiter, I think, is pretty good during games. Like, those guys tell you stuff.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's game day for the Celtics. The NBA playoffs play here. Felger and Mass are in the Star Market studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The national media doesn't get it. They don't understand the Celtics, and they truly, really underestimate the Celtics. Like, all the way through. It blows me away. They don't get it.
Oh, he has finally seen the light.
Celtics have a great defense, guys, you can't exploit.
He has climbed aboard the sea's train. He used to be a douche who didn't believe.
Credit to Coach Stevens.
Now he's in love with this team that's overachieved. Felger's a green teamer. Coach Stevens is the best of all time.
They just keep winning in convincing fashion. You see it from the opening tip. Opening tip, he's taking over. It's only Coach Stevens. There's only one coach in the NBA. Coach Stevens is baiting LeBron and is taking that outside shot, and that's how you keep him out there.
Credit to Coach Stevens.
Feels like there's some creative license there.
Nope, that's all real audio.
Feels like there's some Photoshop going on there in the audio world.
There isn't.
Oh, green teamer.
Love it. You've got to admit, though, like that Philly series. So to get that Philly series line, Philly minus 375, that is Vegas or the national, you know, analysts not getting what the Celtics are doing. And then... not just that, to have the Sixers lose to the Celts in five and then have guys like Chris Broussard come out and say that the Sixers still would have given the Cavs a much tougher series. That he would have given the Sixers a shot, but not the Celts. Like, so there's something people are missing here on this team. Like, so, well, I don't have to defend myself. I'm not taking it personally like a green teamer. It just strikes me that so few people get what the Celtics are doing.
I mean, look, I mean, I know I underestimated them. I didn't, after the injury to Irving now. Like, with Irving, I thought, you know, what's the best case? They'll win a round, they'll probably lose in the second. But they did catch a break with the bracket. They got in the right bracket, so they really didn't have a heavyweight in there with them. And now I look at them and I say, Cleveland's flawed. The single biggest difference between this year's series and last year's is still the fact that Cleveland doesn't have Kyrie Irving. That even though the Celtics don't, Cleveland doesn't either. It's still the biggest difference in this series. But they play hard. They're hard to defend. They can swap all over the place on both ends of the floor and not skip a beat because they're all basically the same size and the same skill set. They are. They're a matchup nightmare. You got to give them credit. They've to do what they've done.
So, again, most people think LeBron's going to come in tonight and stomp or try and stomp. And Murray's somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't even know where Murray is. But most people think he's going to...
Well, that's where you are because you don't know either. Like, I think he's going to be better. He's going to go in the paint, but I just think he might defer too.
I don't. So which is it? See, to me, he's not going to be in the middle. He's either going to be that freight train.
Okay.
But
see.
I'm telling you, it would not surprise me if he defers again.
He's not going to defer in this game. No way.
How do you see? I don't know how you're so convinced of that.
Because I'm just basing it on what I've seen this year from LeBron. He played in all 82 games in the regular season. He didn't miss one. And in the playoffs, he's been awesome. Like, overall now. So I just look at the whole thing and I say, see, I have it in my head. LeBron's not going to leave Cleveland the way he did the last time. He's not going to do it. I think he's out of there.
But I also think that he knows he needs these guys to help him out if he's going to win this series and get to the finals again. So that's deferring to Kevin Love, or maybe it's Rodney Hood or someone else that gets open, you know, and can get him a three. But he's going to be in the paint more. than he was in game one.
But I think he can defer to them at home. I don't think he can on the road. And maybe he decided that he couldn't give the kind of effort he needed to give in both games, so he gave the Celtics game one. I don't know. I mean, I can't get in his head. I'm just telling you that with LeBron, there was a plan. I don't think he just got out on the floor and said, eh, I don't feel like playing tonight.
So I can't predict it. All I'm telling you is that it ain't going to be in the middle, Murray. It's going to be either, you know, either he's dangling his shorts on your forehead tonight, or we're going to come out of these two games and say, what the hell's wrong with LeBron? It's going to be one or the other. It ain't going to be in the middle.
He's going to take over 20 shots tonight. You know, you're not getting another half-assed,
we'll see.
You know, let me stand on the perimeter and chuck up threes and not really go to the basket.
Would that really stun you if he did that again?
It would surprise me. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it would in this game after the last one, the chances of him coming out and do that again, like, I don't want to say microscopic, but I have a hard time believing he's just going to stand on the perimeter all night.
Here's Mike in Rhode Island. What do you think, Mike?
LeBron took the night off. Okay, he's going to come back tonight, and he's going to be a truck and run over the Celtics. Okay, and then he's going to take 4 days off. He'll come back on Saturday. You guys are going to be down 2-1. Okay, you're talking about LeBron James against the Celtics. He's been the last 7 world championships. Okay, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a 3 handicapper getting in a dollar skins match with you three. You know, it's just, you know what? He wasn't interested the other night, okay? But he's going to come back, and he's going to knock the hell out of you guys.
All right, let's see. Maybe. What's his career record against Brad Stevens and the Celtics? You were giving it to me earlier, Matt.
Yeah, it's 8-2 now. He's played 10 games against the Celtics under Brad Stevens, and his career record is 8-2.
And his points per game is something absurd.
Yeah. So he's averaged basically 28.5 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists. And the last time he had a quote-unquote bad game against Stevens was game 3 last year. Scored 11 points in that game. He went 4 for 13.
And that was the game the Celtics won with the Avery Bradley three-pointer at the buzzer.
Correct. In the next two games of that series, he scored 34 and 35, and he went a combined 28 of 45 from the field. He shot 62.2%. from the floor, and in game 4 of that series, he took 21 shots inside the three-point line. So that, to me, told me LeBron recognized he wasn't going to let that series get 2-2, and he said, I'm going to obliterate the Celtics tonight, and he went to the basket. Again, inside the three-point line. And I don't think LeBron's settling for a lot of mid-range jumpers, maybe a couple of fallaways here and there.
Sandy in North Andover. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi. I just have a couple of things. I'll make it really quick. I know I called yesterday. 2 points. I know you guys said that you think LeBron had some kind of, I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory, but that a method to his madness, we'll call it, and he didn't do as well. But I don't think that's true, only in my opinion, because LeBron James is too much of a competitor and too big-headed to do that. I think, if anything, he wouldn't embarrass himself running up and down the court, making a fool out of himself. He would take himself out of the game and say he didn't feel good or he pulled a muscle or something. Then I'd agree with you that that's possible.
No, you're missing. You're missing one thing, though, that he does all the time, and that is pass the ball to his teammates and stand off to the side and let the world see just how, you know, what kind of chumps they got me playing with this year. He does that a lot, too. That's sort of the middle ground between fighting to the end or taking yourself out of the game. How about just giving the ball to Kevin Love and letting the world see that he sucks?
See, she said he's competitive.
And let them see that and then say, okay, well, I don't feel good. I pulled the muscles. And then they'd see that, okay, well, they can't do it without him. Wouldn't he do it that way?
I've seen him, Sandy, defer and let the world see just what a bunch of clowns he's playing with.
Oh, he's quit before. There's no two ways about it. See, that's where I disagree with her. I don't think LeBron's all that competitive. I mean, he's competitive.
He's had his moments. Like, it's back and forth. He's had some really competitive moments and some really clutch moments and some really defining sort of, you know, character moments. He's had them. But he's also had a bunch where you're like, what's up with you?
See, that's why I say he's not as competitive as some of the other greats. Do you ever remember Jordan quitting?
Do you ever remember going into a game with Jordan saying, I wonder what Is he going to shoot enough tonight?
Never.
No.
Never! And believe me, I was on the other side with the Bird. I never went into a game and said, well, I wonder what Bird's going to give me tonight. Maybe he'll just shut it down. Maybe he'll defer. No! I crap my pants every game, whether Bird came through or not. With LeBron, you sort of look at him and you go, huh, What's he going to do? He deferred this last game. What's he going to do tonight?
See, I think LeBron has a, you know, he had a compete problem early in his career. He's gotten better. But when it didn't go his way, he would cave. LeBron would cave. All those other guys didn't cave the way LeBron did.
Absolutely. Here's Ralphie in the car on tonight, the draft lottery. Go ahead, Ralphie.
With LeBron, use a look.
Ralphie, you got to turn your radio down. However you're listening to us on the app, you got to turn it down. John in Winthrop, I didn't hang up on you. Just turn your stuff down. I'll come back to you. John in Winthrop, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I think we got to put the violins down. I mean, obviously, you don't remember Bird Magic or Michael Jordan ever having a bad game. Larry Bird's first NBA Finals against the Houston Rockets, a 40-42 team. He had two games where he scored 8 points. Maxwell was the series MVP. I remember Magic Johnson in 84 against the Celtics. He dribbled out the clock in game two, and he had a disastrous turnover in game four. There was countless free throws. Michael Jordan, you want to go through his field goals made,
John,
field goals attempted?
Hold on. John, you're missing it. I'm not saying they didn't have bad games. They didn't win every time. I'm telling you, the feeling I had going into those games, I never thought or considered what I was going to get out of those guys. I knew what kind of effort I was going to get out of those guys. I do with LeBron. I wonder.
But I think it's revisionist history. These guys, did Magic Johnson, did he not melt under pressure in 1984? And even in 1981, he airballed a potential game-winning shot from 6 feet from the rim. That happened. I mean, these guys were not
John.
Victors.
He did.
He took
the shot.
I get it. But how many times has LeBron James won games in the playoffs with buzzer beaters? 5 times in his career, which is more than Jordan. He had an off game the other night. He was probably the 11th best player on the floor. I'll give you that.
It's not just the off game. You're missing it.
He is missing it. He's not getting it.
To me, if LeBron goes 4 for 25, that's different than what he did the other night. He took 13 shots or 16 shots, whatever it is. He didn't engage. If he's having an off night shooting, well, at least he's engaging and trying to lead the offense. He didn't even try. Don't you understand the difference?
No, he pulled a Kobe. Is what he did. The way Kobe completely quit in game six here against the Celtics that year. He quit. And so the difference with those guys, and this is the point. Yes, Magic made mistakes. He dribbled at the clock, all of which is true. Magic had trouble shooting when he came into the league. Fact, fact, fact. He never once stood out there on the perimeter and said, we're going to lose tonight. I'm not even going to try. Or I'm going to give you 60%. Not that I remember, not in a big game. I don't ever remember that.
You ever go into a game with Jordan and say, you know, he might defer tonight?
No.
That never entered your mind.
No. And I never remember that with Bird either. No. So there was one stretch of Bird's career, but it was regular season where he got pissed off at Jimmy Rogers, the coach, and he made a point.
Oh, that was late.
Yeah, and he made a point to, you know, he called himself a point forward, and he started passing the ball more instead of shooting. And it was this little, you know, this little a bratty pouting session that Bird had in the late part of his career. You're right. It was later. It was under Jimmy Rogers. But in the playoffs, no chance. Not in a million years. He was looking to wipe people out in 4 games, for crying out loud. He wanted to do it in as little time as possible. This guy, sometimes you just don't know what you're going to get.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is it discouraging to you to see James score 41 points and you still lose by double digits?
No, I'm going to just go talk to him. He needs to get about 55 next time. So, and that would take care of it. I'll just have to tell him that.
All right, a few thoughts on Houston Golden State last night. That's Mike D'Antoni after the game, and that comment bugged Maz and Murray. Discuss, gentlemen.
Okay, whether he was joking or not, I think that comment to me sums up exactly who D'Antoni is and why I think ultimately his teams are going nowhere and he's a jackass. Okay, ultimately, really, it comes down to that. Your guy gets 41 and you lose to Golden State by, what was the final margin, like 10?
10, 11 points.
Okay, 10. So you lose by that margin. You give up 119, I think it was, last night. And your solution is you tell your best player to score more? But see, this is what I would tell D'Antoni. Your defense sucks. Your system sucks. This is why you're never going to win. Because all you're interested in doing is outscoring the opposition. So I don't care how many freaking games you won this year. You're going to lose in the playoffs playing the way you play. Which is take threes, keep the ball in the point guard's hand, play isolation ball on the perimeter, and don't worry about the defense. We'll outscore everybody.
Your defense is a joke.
It's pathetic. You know what D'Antoni's career record is in the postseason now? 40-41. He's under 500 in the postseason, which to me in that league said something. Like, the first two rounds should be automatic, and they were essentially for Houston this postseason. But the reason your team suck in the playoffs is because you play no D. And the reason I'm agitated about this is, for one, I'm insulted by the way they play. Okay, I hate the way the Rockets play, just like I've hated the way every D'Antoni team plays. Secondly, if Houston can actually somehow give them a series and maybe steal it, which I doubt.
They're not going to.
Okay, but going in, I thought maybe they have a shot. They got home court. They won 65 games during the regular season. I think the Celtics have a shot against Houston for the same reason I just told you.
No question they have a shot against Houston.
Golden State, no prayer. Okay, the Warriors are so much better than everybody else in the league, it's not even funny. And ultimately, I think that that's what happened last night. But if Houston paid a little bit more attention to detail and actually played both ends of the floor, they have home court. They might be able to actually give them a series.
No, Houston had to win last night's game for them to have a chance in this series. And honestly, I think the sweep is on the table. This was the game I was mostly on last night. Didn't really pay all that much attention to the Red Sox. It's stunning to me how bad they are defensively. It's the same D'Antoni thing it's been as long as he's been a coach in this league. But even beyond that, I still think Houston's a good team offensively. They're incredibly talented. They're going to need Chris Paul and Harden. He is right in that he would have to probably score more because they're not going to be able to keep up with Golden State. Houston's good. Golden State's just Golden State. They're on another planet. Kevin Durant last night was like, it was like he was unconscious. There was a point late in the game, he shot a three right in Harden's face, and it was a deep three, and whoever it was doing the commentary on the game might have been Mark Jackson. He's like, where do you want it? That's where Durant was last night. Like, you tell me where you want it, I'm going to put it right in your face.
I'll tell you what, Golden State does, when I asked Whit Grosbeck about, do you like your league now? Is it a good competitive league? And he went on Golden State about the super team and how the caps went up for that short period of time, and Golden State took advantage, and you can't really do that now. He kind of has a point. If you take out Golden State, the rest of the feet, you know, it would be a pretty interesting playoffs.
Yeah, definitely.
Because like, I think, you know, even without Hayward and Irving, I think the Celtics and Cavs are even. This is going to be a deep series. I would give both those teams a shot against Houston, those losing bums. You know, if Kawhi Leonard wasn't such a baby and he was back with, I mean, you would have four or five teams that I think would have a legit shot, and it would be sort of a more even, open field. Golden State ruins the whole thing.
Totally.
They really do. I enjoyed this Golden State thing a couple of years ago. Last year, I was hoping they would lose, and now it's just joyless for me. It really is. And I even thought they might have trouble because Steph Curry's coming back from this ankle thing, and he even still looks hobbled in last night's game. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They have too much talent on the floor, and if Durant's going to play like that, nobody's going
to
have a shot.
They just turned it over to Durant in the third quarter, and Houston had no answer. They didn't even try. You know, like, D'Antoni doesn't even try. You know, like, you see all the things the Celtics are doing against LeBron with the switching and the caving and the, like, the whole there's not even an approach in Houston.
And no, they were, zero.
And remember, so
they were getting, Harden was getting switched off on Durant.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, getting crushed by a giant. It was ridiculous.
And so remember, this was the Scott Foster's Tony Brothers game.
Oh, that's right.
And I thought going into it that they were assigned this game to give Houston help. Because I think the league wants this series and the Eastern Conference Finals to go deep. But Houston had to win last night's game for this to be a competitive series. Late in that game, that dastardly duo was doing everything in
again, Foster's and Brothers.
Foster's and Brothers were doing everything that they possibly could to give dubious calls. There was one in particular where Durant gets fouled by Harden. On a clear three-point shot, he's nowhere near the line. They call it two. It was, if you watched it, you know what I'm talking about, because Durant was incensed, and rightfully so, because it's a three-point shot. His sneakers didn't even touch the line. They called it two. Anyway, he hits them, but they kept trying to give Houston as many chances as they possibly could, and they couldn't because they're just not talented enough. They're not.
Well, and they also, they're dogs.
And they're dumb.
They're complete dogs, please. They're bums. Total bums. Durant's silly. I mean, it's silly. Like, when now that you see him playing with good players, it makes Russell Westbrook look like a jackass, too. Like, Russell Westbrook couldn't figure out, give him the ball at the most important times in the game and just get out of the way. Let him shoot over whoever he wants and get out of the way. So there was a clear sort of ego clash there that got in the way because Oklahoma City should have been better than they were with this guy. They should have. I mean, it is so apparent. He can score anytime he wants. There's just no way to stop him.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've seen every coverage, pretty much. For me, game one has always been a fill-out game for me. If you ever follow my history, so yeah, I got a good sense of the way they played me today, and you know, and how I play going into game two.
All right, LeBron, was he just feeling you out? Find out tonight. I find that fascinating, and that this is to LeBron's detriment. That I don't know what I'm going to get from him tonight. I don't know what I'm going to get. I think he's going to come back and guns blazing. I think that's what's going to happen, but I don't know. And growing up, you know, being in the stadium opposite of Larry Bird, I never said to myself, what am I going to get from Larry tonight? Is he going to defer tonight? I never, ever, ever did that enter my mind with Michael Jordan. Is he going to defer tonight? Is he going to set up his teammates tonight, or is he going to be a freight train? It was 100% freight train. You never thought about it.
No.
Never thought twice about it.
Which is what, like, use the other night as a perfect example. Even that one, like the fact that it happened once, you would say, where did that come from? This guy had a week off. How is he not engaged in game one of the series?
So, we'll see what we get tonight. We just don't know. Also tonight, the ping pong balls. You've got a shot to land back in the top three of the draft, if you can believe that. Ralphie in the car wants to hit on that. Go ahead, Ralphie.
What's up, boys? Sorry about that earlier. Listen, do you guys really think we need Anthony Davis, given what you guys have seen from the young guys and, you know, the guys that are coming in with the Haywards and all that? I'm a green teamer, but I'm a realistic one. I don't think we can really get them. I feel like we should, if we hit the draft lottery, or if we don't, we should trade up and draft Jaren Jackson Jr. That kid's a beast. He's the best defensive big man in the draft. He's only 18.
Where is he supposed to go, Ralphie?
Excuse me?
Where is he supposed to go?
He's supposed to go in the top five.
Okay, you're not getting up there, Ralphie, unless you, yeah, I'm sorry, and thanks for the call. You're not going to get up there unless you win the lottery. You're sitting at 27. I think that's your draft position. I think it's set. So that's your pick. You have Sacramento's pick next year, which, again, could be a top five, although it can't be number one.
Sure.
Sacramento this year was seventh. They're in the seventh lottery position. That's a young team. They've been drafting high the last couple of years. You're sure they're going to be worse next year?
I mean, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league again.
Okay, wait, but again, I say they were one of the worst teams in the league this year, and they were seventh.
Okay, but I think some other teams are going to improve. Like, for example, Phoenix has been picking in the high lottery over the last several years, and they've been the worst team in the league.
Phoenix was six games clear of Sacramento. You think Phoenix is going to improve by six games over Sacramento?
Yep.
You do.
I do. I mean, Phoenix has got Booker. I immediately look at that and say they're better than Sacramento. So, I again, like another team that you would say that has picked high in the lottery for a number of years now is the Suns. So, like, as they get further along in the process, they're going to get better. And I think they're going to overtake Sacramento.
Okay, so, all right. If you package your pick, Sacramento's pick next year, which could be top five, and Terry Rozier, does that get you into the top five of this year's draft?
No.
No. Even still, even if Sacramento's going to be as bad as you're saying, that can't be number one because it's number one protected. So you can't be number one. And as Maz pointed out earlier, the draft next year is not supposed to be good. And this year is deep. So how do you get someone out of the top five this year, loaded with big men up top, to bite on what could be a top five pick next year but no guarantees?
You don't. I mean, we've been down this road before. When there's uncertainty over that, it's hard to move. The Celtics couldn't make that deal last year with Philly until they get the number one pick. Then all of a sudden it had value, and now you get Jason Tatum and an extra lottery pick out of it. So to me, you know, you can't do it purely at this stage on the chance to get into the top. Right? In other words, if you're in the top five now, you can't trade out of there the chance that you would get back in.
No way.
No shot. The only way you do that is if you give up Brown or Tatum, which you're not going to do.
Mike and Woburn with the basketball thought, a rarity. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, it ties into my overall conspiracy theory, so fasten on the tinfoil hats. Look, everybody wanted to talk about how Durant was weak for wanting to go to Golden State, right? That was that was the prevailing storyline when he joined Golden State. We failed to see what the commonality was between how his season ended and how Golden State's season ended that season. They were up 3-1, and then the Brothers and Foster Brigade happened to Oklahoma, and they were done. And then conversely, Golden State goes to the finals after coming back from a 3-1 deficit, and suddenly they get the phony suspension on Captain Bangkok. We get the calls, the Scott Foster treatment, and they lose in the finals. This is why that team is together, because they both got porked, and they decided if the league is going to do this kind of stuff, we're going to be as unporkable as possible. That team is kosher. There is no pork. That team cannot be pork. Like, yeah, you're going right, to have to have Tony Brothers, Scott Foster, and Fred Smoot to swoop through that team tonight. It's impossible. They can't be fixed. That's why they put that conglomeration of talent together. They both got hosed the same postseason, and they never wanted to see it happen again.
Is it true that Foster's and Brothers worked both OKC and Cleveland games when they were down 3-1?
I'm sure they did.
So you don't know that. We got to go look that up.
See, so the only part I disagree with them on is that Oklahoma City was complicit in its own demise when they blew it.
See, Mike is saying that Durant was up 3-1 in their conference final, and they got Foster and Brothered.
Right, but I'm telling you that Oklahoma City did it to itself. If you remember that game six, they were home.
Then they were up by like 7 points, yeah.
Right, and they completely imploded down the stretch with turnovers. Now, I would say Russell Westbrook undermined Kevin Durant in that series, but it wasn't the officials.
Mike always goes back to the officials. But in the NBA, at least, there's
some validity.
It's a pretty strong track record there. Tim in Grafton. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, so early in the hour, Tony mentioned that LeBron played all 82 games, and it doesn't make sense to me that, you know, he would quit because of this pile or collection of garbage that he has, because for at least 30 games at the end of the season and for two rounds, he had that. So he's been balling. He's been trying. That just doesn't make sense. So it could make a little bit of sense that, hey, let me let these young guys in Boston tire themselves out. Although, is that smart? And I think he's too smart to do that, too, because, you know, they're young. Like I just said, they're young, and are they really going to get tired playing their up-tempo style? What if he's nursing something? What if he's just got 15 years of mileage on his body, and he just played, like we said, 82 games and two rounds?
So, Tim, let me stop you. Yeah, it's possible. He's coming off a 6-day rest or something off that Toronto series, a sweep.
Right.
Right? I don't know. What was the layoff there? He only played 4 games against Toronto. It's not like it was a 7-game dogfight. I mean, if anything, that would have been the round before where he did have the 7-game dogfight against Indiana. He comes off a 4-game sweep with a week off or whatever it was. If we get deeper in the series, yeah, maybe I'll give you that. Not in game one. It was something else. He was doing something else. He was either setting you up, he was assessing the thing, like he says. Either he was, or he was deferring to show everybody that his teammates suck, which I've seen him do before, or something. He saw it wasn't happening early on and just shut her down because I'm not getting two in Boston anyway, so I'll get you next. And whatever it was, there was a reason behind it. It wasn't just, and it was more than just you, is what I'm saying. It was him. I just don't know what it was.
I don't think it was physical either. Like, to me, it was, no, it was plotted. He's fine. Please.
Unless he pulled a Carson Smith somehow.
No, he's fine.
No, I know. I agree.
He's some fine. Kind of distraction. There's no issue there.
So apparently we have video of it. We can't show it for whatever reason. But apparently LeBron was in the building here at the Garden early, early this morning alone shooting threes. Now, I don't know if that's, and as a person related to me, they have no idea if he does that every morning, if that's really common or not. I'm not telling you. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Is it common, not common? Does he do it all the time? Does he not do it? Was it a special appearance? Was it not? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you he was there in the building alone today shooting threes. So, I'm sure if he wins and plays well, we'll hear it. You know, he was first one in the gym this morning, blah, 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 blah. And we have video of it, too, but we can't show it for whatever reason. But, so, that's just, I'll just thought I'd impart that. If you're one of those who think LeBron shows up tonight and it's guns blazing, maybe that's the mindset.
So I can give you my 2 cents on it.
Go ahead.
I think he probably does it a lot. That I don't think it is at all unusual for a highly, skilled and competitive athlete. And again, I say he's not as competitive as some other guys, but he's competitive. Who's shooting 26% from three in the postseason to come out on the day of the game.
He better be out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Damn straight.
I mean,
get your ass out there and get your lay of the land and take your shots. Be ready to go. I think he's ready to go tonight.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.